You are listening to the Better Together podcast, brought to you by the National Association of Free Will Baptists.
Welcome to the Better Together podcast, where we look for ways we can work together to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. Today, we have with us Dr. Tom Rayner. He's the founder and the president of Church Answers. And before that, he worked with Lifeway and ministered for many years in Southern Baptist churches. And so it's so good to have you here with us today, Dr. Rayner.
I am always glad to be with you. You know that from the moment I met you speaking for your denomination twice, I believe, if I recall, to now all the things we've been involved in. You're just fine, Eddie. You're just fine to be with.
That's what I keep telling people. Some of them do not believe it, but it is true.
I will be a witness to that effect.
Hey, I'm so much fun. I'm going to church and I'm thinking, I want to complain about this one thing that bothers me, right? So I want to pull the pastor aside, and I especially am thinking about doing this before he goes up to preach a sermon, you know. What do you think? What do you think about that, Tom?
Well, you know, if you came up to me, Eddie, and told me that, and it was Sunday morning, and I saw you walking toward the pastor, I may be an old fat guy, but I'd tackle you. I would hit you at the knees and grab you. First of all, don't get a pastor off track right before a sermon, no matter what it is. I mean, Yes. We've seen a lot of things like, hey, there's no toilet tissue in the women's room. Well, I'm going to go preach in a minute. What I do? Whatever you need to do. So you never do that. So that's rule number one. Rule number two, be extremely careful about criticizing a pastor. And you say, well, that's not fair. They're human. They make mistakes. But listen to what could be the multiplier, even the exponential effect to this. Let's say that there are 200 total members who come to your church in the course of a month. Maybe you're averaging 100, and so you have 200 total members who are coming there. And I'm just going to put them all in the potential critic category. That's not fair, but we're going to put them all in that. Let's say every one of them thought that they had the right to make maybe one critical comment to the pastor a quarter. So 200, they're going to criticize four times a year. That's 800 criticisms. That's almost three criticisms a day for a pastor, just with someone who is trying to provide some corrections once every 3 months. Well, there are some critics that feel called to do so more often than once every 3 months. Here's the reality. No matter what the polity is, and we're Baptist polity, so I know it's congregational polity, but even if it is not, if you are in some other type of polity, church members many times feel like the pastor reports to them. And in congregational polity, there is some truth to that. But that doesn't mean that every pastor needs a boss every day to tell him what he's doing wrong. So one of the first things that I would do is I would say, think about it. Pray about it. See if there are other alternatives. Let me give you the example that we just did. It's ludicrous. But what if there was not enough toilet tissue in the restroom? Guess what? Instead of going and criticizing, just do something about it.
Yeah.
And take care of it yourself. Yesterday, we're recording this on a Monday. So yesterday is a Sunday in the time of the recording. I was at my son's church. And someone said, I need to go talk to Jess about one of the rooms in the church. It was filthy when we came to community group. Mm. They're good people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they didn't think it was a criticism. I just said, and of course I was protecting my son as well as my pastor. I just said, hey, maybe instead of telling him to take care of it, we can come up with a plan to do it ourselves. Yeah. Yeah. If you can go to a pastor and say, hey, everything was dirty this morning. Do you mind if we take this on ourselves? We'll talk about pastor appreciation in just a moment, but you talk about a pastor who is heartwarmed that you have done something for him instead of telling him negatively that he needs to do something about it. All of a sudden, the whole dynamics change and you have encouraged your pastor. And remember, your pastor is your under shepherd. Yeah. And if you encourage the pastor, you're really encouraging the entire flock. And if you're encouraging the entire flock, you're encouraging for the kingdom of God. It's one of the greatest things you can do. So if you want to be kingdom minded encourage your pastor instead of criticize your pastor. So now I've tackled you. I've probably hit you in the head twice, and you're knocked out, and you can't go criticize him anyway.
So we stop that. We stop there right there. I'm trying to decide, do I charge you with assault? I don't know. Go. Hey, I deserved it though, didn't I?
Yes, you did. You totally deserved it.
We leave the pastor alone before the sermon. It's only encouraging things. And it's just a hard thing to remember these kinds of things, like, oh, I've got to deal with this or I've got to deal with that. So that's spot on. So you're saying, I see a problem. Maybe the Lord wants me to do something about it. Maybe he wants me to be part of the solution. But also it could be someone besides the pastor that we could involve in that, because the pastors have certain obligations, certain responsibilities from the scripture that they're supposed to be about as well.
Yeah, well, you look at Acts 6:4 and the early followers of Christ, and they had a problem with the widows being overlooked in the distribution of food. Note that they didn't say, we're going to distribute food to the widows. You would think, oh, the pastor has to take care of it. It's time to do that. There was conflict in the church. There was complaints because the Greek widows were being overlooked in the distribution of food. The Hebrew widows were getting food. That's a story in itself. But what did the forerunners to pastors say? I'm talking about the apostles that eventually became the forerunners to pastors. What they say, it would not be right for us to deal with this issue. We will turn this over and we will give our attention to prayer and ministry of the word. And so they had seven deacons that they gave it to. It doesn't have to be seven deacons. It could be others who are equipped in doing that. And the amazing thing about that passage, the pastor did not deal with the direct issue. They delegated it. The issue caused disunity in the church. When they dealt with it, it caused unity. And then simultaneous to all of that, you are equipping people to do the work of ministry. So it's a win, win, win. And the pastor is encouraged instead of discouraged.
That's good. Well, you mentioned earlier, it is Pastor Appreciation Month in October. Now, we think Pastor Appreciation Month should really be every month.
Sure. But
we do take October as a time to say, let's thank our pastors. So I'm sitting in the congregation. I know I don't need to go up and complain, especially before a service. What can I do to appreciate? What can I do to support my pastor?
There's some things that don't cost a dime. You can always buy something for the pastor, and that is appreciated. Most pastors like books. Most pastors like gift cards where they can pick out the books themselves. So that's always a given. But let's say it's not necessarily a monetary gift. What does that pastor do? Well, let's say that pastor's at a stage of life where they still have children in the home. Well, you know what? The pastor and his wife are not getting too many opportunities to go out together. Mm-hmm. If you could provide a coupon or just, hey, I'm serious about this. I want to come and watch your kids and your wife have a date night. I mean, what if 10 people in the church did that for pastor appreciation? And all of a sudden there are 10 nights in a year in the next 12 months that the couple knows that they would be able to go out because some people in the congregation are going to take care of our kids. That's for the younger pastors with young children. But what do pastors need? What pastors need are really two things, and they're really two sides of the same coin: prayer and encouragement. Prayer and encouragement. And if I really want to be an encouragement to my pastor, one of the things I do, whether it's my son or another pastor, is I let that pastor know specifically how a sermon affected me positively, not just great sermon and walk away. No, pastor, I want you to know that when you said the following, it made me really think, and here's some action I'm going to take. I don't think many pastors ever hear the specificity of how God is working through his Holy Spirit. I wouldn't just do that in October, but if you want to think of something to do in October, that is a good, good possibility. Or the pastor's getting ready to preach, and instead of telling him the restroom is out of toilet tissue, I want you to know that I have really been praying for this moment. I think God is going to use you mightily. Think about how that pastor feels just then, at that very moment. Not going thinking about, okay, I've just been criticized here. Who can take care of the toilet tissue? No, somebody's told me that they have been interceding on my behalf. for this specific moment. Now, I'm going to take this one step further. Some churches are comfortable with this, some aren't, it does not matter. But what if during Pastor Appreciation Month in October, you had three, four people in your church that committed for 1 year to be praying in a room for the pastor while he's preaching? Maybe not all of them, maybe one, maybe something, but every week for 52 weeks, there's a prayer ministry that is going on. Maybe each of them commits to once a month to be in there. Think about what kind of encouragement that would be. We're not only going to pray for you before you, we're going to pray during the message that God would be using you in a lot of ways. So what have I suggested here? Certainly that which may have monetary value, like a gift card for books, and believe me, that's a biggie for pastors. Or you can do something non-monetary, but give them time about if they have small kids looking after them. But for any pastor, establishing an intercessory prayer for them, that will encourage them, perhaps like few other things can. Those are just some ideas, Eddie.
That's good. I appreciate you. Thanks, Tom. Thanks for sharing with us today. And you've given us all some good things that we can do to support our pastor. And really, what you mentioned is a way of supporting their wives, supporting their families as well. Thank you for sharing with us today.
Always a joy to be with you, Eddie. Thank you.
We want to thank you for listening in today. If you know someone that would benefit from this podcast, please take it and share it. Remember, every little bit we do matters. And remember, we truly are better when we work together. We're better together.